friends. I feel blessed. I'm very grateful for my church family, for every one of you. Do we really trust God? It's an odd question, isn't it? I know a lot of you would say, of course we do. If we look on our currency, this one happens to be a 20. It says right on it, in God we trust. And I've often thought about that. What would happen if everybody trusted in God? It'd be a different country, wouldn't it? What would happen if everybody told the truth? It's fun to think about. Please keep in mind this morning that I'm preaching to myself as much as to anybody else. I need to hear this. I tried to shy away from this, and this is what was kept being brought back to my mind. So, if I step on your toes, I am sorry. I don't mean to. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. If we trust God, if we are 100% committed to Him, the Bible is full of promises, like Nikki just read to us in our scripture. Trust in the Lord, and He's going to direct your paths. That's another one. There's so many, many others. The Bible's full of them. God is really, really good and awesome. Will you bow your heads one more time? I need to pray for myself and for you. Our Father in heaven, I ask this morning you would be with me. I am just a mortal man. I would ask that you would give me the words to speak. Help those here to hear the words that you would want them to hear. We ask for your blessing on everyone here and their families. And we thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. We ask these things in thy name. Amen. Well, the idea for this talk has been rolling around in my head for a long time. And it was sparked by a series of sermons that I heard well over 40 years ago. And it was given by a man named Elder Charles Dart. He was the principal and the pastor of the boarding academy that I went to. And a man totally committed to God. As I came to know him more and more and watched him throughout his life, he's passed away now. But it didn't matter where God called him to serve, he was happy to do it. Whether it was a smaller position or a greater position, he was willing. And in the 4 years that I went to that school, I do have to admit that I was invited to chat with him on an official basis a couple of times, if you know what I mean. One of those occasions, he was trying to stifle a laugh back, but I knew that he was laughing inside, but he had to tell me that I had done the wrong thing. But somewhere in church, in between sleeping and poking my buddies and looking at girls, this was a co-ed school, I was listening. And I wish I would have told him that, but I never did. And this series covered the story of the children of Israel, their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, God's dealings with them while they're in the desert, how He took care of them, how He protected them, how He fed them, and He finally led them into the promised land. And the name of this series was, it kept reoccurring, I can trust a God like that. And truly we can trust God. There's many stories in the Bible of people that trusted God completely. And God did great things through them. Abraham, Daniel, Joseph, Esther, David, Abigail. Google them. If you don't know where to find them, Google them. They're a great story. They're a great read. Are they entertaining? Yes. Is that the whole reason they're there? No. Some of these stories are there, I think, so that we can see what God is like. So we can know what God's track record's like. How does He deal with men? And we can see the way that He works out the affairs of man behind the scenes. Let's look at two stories of commitment and trust in the Bible. One of these people failed the test miserably, and one of them passed with flying colors. I'm sure that many of you are acquainted with both stories. The first one is found in Matthew 19, 16 through 20. I apologize, I don't have everything up on the screen. I'm not that techno. So if you want to grab your Bibles right in front of you in your pew, it'll read almost like this. This is an old King James Version, but yours, I think, are new King James Versions. Let's go ahead and turn there. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. I'll give you a moment. I have mine all marked with post-it notes because I'd never be able to find it. And behold, one came to him and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He said unto Jesus, "Which? Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Excuse me. The young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He failed the test. He wasn't willing to commit everything. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's putting it before God. It's having that little corner in our life that we say, "Lord, you can't have this right now. Maybe later." The Bible says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, He won't hear us. And that doesn't mean if we sin, God will no longer hear us. It's just if we have a pet sin or a pet thing that we do and we say, "No, Lord, I know it's wrong, but I don't want to give it to you. I don't want to give it up. I don't want to work on it. Maybe later." Let's look at another story in the Old Testament. The story of Abraham. This is found in Genesis 22, 1 through 3 and 12, at least the part that I'm going to read. Genesis 22, 1 through 3 and 12. Now, Abraham was a very influential man. He was very rich. We are told that his household numbered about 1,000 people. I didn't realize that until I was researching him a little bit. He was very respected among the nations around him. He even at one point rescued some of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they respected him for that, even though they did not believe in God. So God brought a test to Abraham. So let's read. And it came to pass that after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. What a test to offer your son. And Abraham was an old man. I think he was about 120 at this point. He was old by their standards, even though they were long-lived at that time. Well, let's skip down to verse 12 to the outcome of the story. And God spoke to Abraham when he knew that he was willing to give his son. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything to him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Wow. I couldn't do it. I don't know. I look at Nathan. I love Nathan. We get along. We're buddies. It's hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. He passed the test. He passed the test. There's another story in the Bible also of someone who was tried very, very severely, and that's the story of Job. When God and the sons of men met and the devil showed up, and God said to Job, Have you considered my servant? Or said to the devil, Have you considered my servant Job? It's like, wow. All the things that happened to Job. I kind of hope my name never comes up like that. I mean, in the end, to have your wife tell you, curse God and die. But God was good. Job was faithful, and God restored more of that, more than everything to him again, and more. There's two parables I'd like to look at in the New Testament. And they're found in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. I'll give you a minute to get there. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. It's just three short verses. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant, man seeking for goodly pearls, who as when he had found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He bought it. I think those stories illustrate the value of being committed to God and what he is offering. We have to be all in, folks. We have to be totally committed. We can't sit on the fence. We cannot serve two masters. We will either serve the one and hate the other, or love the one Anyway, reverse. I'm going to get crossed up here. God loves us so much, but He asks that we be committed totally to Him. That's the one thing that we have, is the power of choice. We can choose. We can do no other thing besides choose without Him. God loves us with a love that we can never be separated from Him with. I'm going to read a couple of passages from this little book, Steps to Christ. It's a book that's kind of a companion that I study with the Bible. I've read it through a number of times, and every time I read it, I find something new in it. I recommend it to you. If you haven't read it, read it. If you have read it, reread it, along with your Bible. If you want a copy, I have some available after the service. Just see me. I was given this book when I was in eighth grade back in 1977, so it's a little bit tattered here and there. By faith you became Christ, and by faith you are to grow up in Him. By giving and taking, you are to give all, your heart, your will, your service. Give yourself to Him to obey all His requirements, and you must take all. Christ, the fullness of all blessing, to abide in your heart, to be your strength, your righteousness, your everlasting helper, to give you power to obey. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, "Take me, O Lord, as wholly Thine. I lay all my plans at Thy feet. Use me today in Your service. Abide with me, that all my work be wrought in Thee. This is a daily matter. Each morning consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ." I was blessed to have a godly mother when I grew up. And she used to say, "By beholding, we become changed." And I didn't know for a while that that came from the Bible. And it's true. I think we need to be careful what we behold. If we are constantly beholding things that aren't good or things that are just trivial, it will crowd out what's important. Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Savior. It says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." But it doesn't say, "Behold, I stand at the door with a crowbar." It doesn't say, "Behold, I stand at the door with lockpicks." Jesus is a gentleman. He will never force his way in or come in where he's not invited. I believe he does knock on the door a little harder for some people than others. We're all individuals and he works with us differently. I think of the story of Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. He knocked on his door pretty hard. Folks, please invite Jesus in today. Be fully committed to Him. Fully trust Him. Don't hold anything back. God will eventually go away if we ignore Him long enough. We are living in the last of this world's days. probation will close for everyone at some point, if not individually. We don't know how long we have. We are only given one day at a time. Shall we bow our heads? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace to us. And we ask that we would commit fully to you. We will hold nothing back. It is my prayer that I will see every one of these people in heaven. They will be my neighbors. And that I will be there with my family too. Thank you for loving us. In thy name, amen.